Based on the increase of in-person attendance, word must have got out that we've got a guest preacher this morning. I'm absolutely delighted that you're going to be hearing from Tyler Henry this morning. Tyler and his wife, Sam, both used to serve as interns at Park Street, and then they did a two-year stint in Kentucky serving at Riverside Christian School. They're back. I hope I'm not stealing your whole intro by telling them that they work with Doug at Goldberry Coffee, and Tyler also serves as helping with Megan Eisenhower in our kids' ministry. So that's facts about Tyler, but what I'm excited for you to hear from Tyler is this is just a person that over the years I have just grown and grown in respect and love for this man. He loves the Lord. He cultivates goodness wherever he goes. And I'm just truly grateful for his friendship and his leadership. Please welcome a strappingly handsome man, Tyler Henry, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that, Nate. Good to be here with you guys this morning. Welcome to Park Street Brethren Church. Whether you're here in person, which is awesome to see you all, or if you're watching on any of our streaming services, we are very stoked and thankful that you chose Park Street to be your home and place of worship this morning. Nate did steal a lot of my intro, so that was smooth and effective. I appreciate that. But you know, I've been coming, for those of you who don't know me, I've been coming to Park Street for a few years, ever since I was coming to AU. My name's Tyler. And like he said, I've had a few different internship positions, and now I've been serving with the kids ministry team, me and Megan Eisenhower, who is an absolute rock star. I know you guys know and love her well. She is the engine that lets kids ministry keep going, and I'm sure my brain just drives her crazy, but I am so thankful to be working with her and kind of in this interim time with kids men. It's been an absolute blessing because it's something totally new to me. I've never worked with kids ministry in this kind of fashion before, so it's been an absolute blessing each week being able to spend time with your kids. So thank you first from the bottoms of my heart and Megan's and the team here for sharing your kids with us each week. We really love them. They're awesome. Listening to the lessons, playing the games, doing the crafts, it's been a real blessing for me. And I feel like I come home every Sunday with just stories of just how funny and cool your kids are. We love them. Also, your kids are kind of crazy, which it is what it is. Your kids are kind of crazy, and we love that about them. And that has actually served as like really good and effective birth control for my wife and I. So thank you. We appreciate it. I've loved working in Kidsmen. So we find ourselves in the middle of a series called The Message of Faith, where the last few weeks we've been walking through these core values of our Christian faith, but specifically looking through it with the lens of the Brethren Church. We've been reading through the Brethren Church's centennial statement written in 1983. And these are the irreducible core of what, if nothing else, these things are the things that we agree upon and that we stand boldly and firmly on in our faith, right? So that's what we've been walking through each week, and we're going to be continuing on in that series today, talking about really the focal point of our faith, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Like Nate just mentioned, right after graduating AU, I went down to Kentucky, where we were serving at Riverside, and Sam joined me after we got married, but the first year we weren't married, so I went down there by myself. Moved into this extremely very small apartment. It was like a bathroom and bedroom, and I absolutely loved it. It's a great bachelor apartment. It's very small. It's all I needed. And after the moving caravan had left, and I find myself by myself, my first job out of college, new state, all of these big changes, I start to unpack. I start to get everything all set up right, and I'm putting all my kitchen stuff away. And I open up this cupboard underneath the sink, and it's just stuffed full from the previous owner, stuffed full with empty milk jugs, like stuffed, like 12, 13 of them, just in this one cabinet. And, you know, like, the entire apartment was clean. The guy before me cleaned it. It's completely empty. He took everything, forgot about his collection of milk jugs under the sink. So I thought that was kind of weird. I threw them all away, right, as you would. And later that evening, I'm going over to a friend's house for dinner, and they're asking me how it's going, if I'm getting settled in, and I'm like, yeah, it's going well. The guy before me left all these milk jugs in the cabinet. Crazy, right? And they kind of pause and they look at me and they're like, well, what did you do with them? I'm like, what do you mean, what did I do with them? I crumbled them up and I threw them in the recycling. And they're like, no, you're going to want to keep those. Yeah, you wanted those. And I was like, what in the world? And they're like, yeah, you know, unbeknownst to me, because I just got in there every winter because, like, their water lines have to go through mountains. They, like, break and they go on multiple boil advisories, like, throughout the winter, just, like, constantly. And so the people down there, throughout the year, they collect these jugs of fresh water and they just, like, store them somewhere for in the winter to prepare. They have fresh water for a few days until the water lines can get fixed. And so they have clean water to tide them over. I did not know that. And lo and behold, the winter came and I was knocking on some doors asking to borrow water because I threw away all my milk jugs because why wouldn't you, right? It's funny because when I moved down there, that was in August. And it was a time and a season where water wasn't an issue, right? That was the season where they were storing up their clean water. There was plenty of water. And yet the people there were planning and expecting for a time where there wouldn't be enough, where this resource would run out. And so often I feel like that's not unique to them. That's kind of a human condition where so many of us employ these lens of scarcity in our lives where we might have enough or we have plenty, and yet we're always planning and we're always expecting for the worst, for that to run out, for there not to be enough to go around. And in our scripture this morning, I think Jesus, in a very powerful passage, he speaks directly to this issue that humans struggle with every day. So if you want to open up your Bibles with me, we're going to be reading from John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John's the fourth and final gospel that starts the New Testament, if you're flipping to it. And if not, it should be up on the screen. You can read along with me. We're going to be reading John 10, verses 1 through 10. Jesus says this, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, and when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Why don't you guys pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful to be here together this morning worshiping you. We pray that your presence is felt and that you meet each one of us in the way that you feel necessary. I just pray for your message to flow and for open hearts and open hands to receive what you have to say. We love you, Lord. Amen. Since moving back from Kentucky this past summer, my wife and I have started working for Douglas at his coffee company, Goldberry Roasting. We have absolutely loved it. It has been a total blessing for as weird and quirky as Doug and his son Pete are. We absolutely love working for them. It is an absolute blast. We came on board this summer because Goldberry got a contract with Oberlin College to be their coffee source provider. And so we provide coffee to the whole campus up north. And then we even have our own little coffee shop there in the library. And so my wife, Sam, and I manage and operate that. And by that, I mean Sam manages and operates that. I make the coffee. She does all of the heavy lifting. But it's been an absolute blessing. And if you know anything about Oberlin College, I'm sure the first thing that popped into your head right now is the exact favorite thing that Sam and I have come to love about our job. It is just the uniqueness and diversity of that school. The students are quirky, they're weird, they're unique, they're special, they're different. And man, we love just being surrounded by them every day. They have different approaches to life, different ways to view the world. And it's just been really good for us to be surrounded by people who are different than us. So we've had to hire a handful of students to be our staff. And our students are awesome. We have like 10 or 11 of them, I think. We absolutely love them. And the cool thing is our staff specifically is a great snapshot of the diversity on campus. We have senior workers, freshman workers. We have white, black, Hispanic, Indian workers. We have Christian, Jewish, Buddhists, non-believing workers. And we get to spend every day with these kids. And it's been awesome just to hear their stories, to get to know them more. And why we've loved it so much is because when you start to surround yourself with people who are different than you, who think differently than you, have different opinions, it causes you to think, causes you to reflect on things that you hold dear to yourself. And so I mentioned we have a bunch of different faith backgrounds on our staff. And so it causes me to think about my faith. I find myself thinking about that on our commute home each day. And knowing specifically that I was going to be giving this sermon on Jesus, I've been thinking about my faith in Jesus through our different conversations with these students. And I've been really starting to view my faith in these two different camps. These two different camps. They are similar, but they're different. And I think it's an important distinction to make. The difference between our belief and our devotion. Belief and devotion. Belief being a recognizing or an affirmation that something is real or accurate, right? We believe these things to be true. Whereas devotion is going to be slightly different, where it's going to be more of like a loving loyalty, right? A dedication to something, or in our case, someone, right? So that's how I've been viewing my faith, thinking about it in those two different ways. And it makes me think, like, why do we believe in Jesus? Why do we believe in Jesus? Well, if somebody were to ask us that, I think a good starting place is to point them towards our centennial statement. I think the brethren, elders in 83 really articulated well what we affirm and believe in the person of Jesus in their section on the Son. So I'm going to read that to you guys this morning from our centennial statement on the Son. It says, the Son is the second person of the second person of the Trinity is the Son. He is the living Word, the revelation and revealer of the unseen Father. Although he possessed the divine nature from eternity, the Word became flesh for us and for our salvation. He was born of a virgin and lived the perfect human life upon earth. As man and God, Jesus lovingly gave himself for others in a ministry of service and reconciliation. His obedient life led to his sacrificial death and fulfillment of prophecy. Upon the cross, he bore the sin and its penalty in our place. He was raised and glorified in the body in which he suffered and died. He ascended as Lord and Savior into heaven, where he continually intercedes for those who are his and from which he will return in glory. Therefore, he is the source of eternal salvation for all who believe in him, submitting to his lordship. That's from our centennial statement. And I think that is a great synopsis of why we believe in Jesus, because we affirm these claims in Scripture to be true. That Jesus is the living Word, our God incarnate, who loved his creation so much, he came to live among us, to walk with us, to laugh with us, to cry with us, and to ultimately give his life for us, to put us in right standing with the Father. And when he rose from the grave, he too offered us a resurrection life and a hope to come after all of this crazy. These are the truths that we stand on boldly, and we proclaim these things to be true. Hallelujah, amen, right? This is why we believe in Jesus, because we believe those things to be true. But on the other side of that coin, that part of devotion that I was mentioning, Why are we devoted to him? That question's been what I've been really, it's been really intriguing to me. I've been thinking about it a lot lately because even though it's similar, I think it requires a different response. Why we follow Jesus or why we're devoted to Jesus, that's a personal question, right? Our belief in him, we can corporately stand and say those things together, but we all approach our faith differently. We all come to faith differently through different lived experiences, through different approaches, different worldviews. That's going to affect how we come to our faith. And so then therefore, why we chose to follow Jesus and dedicate our lives to him, that's going to require a different and a personal answer. And that's why it's been so intriguing to me. Why are we devoted to Jesus? One of my favorite musical artists, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of him, it's a guy by the name of John Mayer. He is a world-class guitarist, a great musician. I love him a lot. And he has this one song, my favorite of his, that I remember specifically the first time I listened to it. It really struck me to my core, his lyrics. And even all these years later, after hearing the song dozens and dozens of times, this song carries weight, right? And we all have those songs. That's the power of music, right? We have songs that bring us back or remind us or something or just like really speak to something important to us. And this is one of them for me. In the outro of this song, the line that just sticks with me and I just cannot shake, he says, "Wherever I go or whatever I do, I wonder where I'm at in my relationship to you. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I wonder where I'm at in my relationship to you." If you ever find yourself just on a random Tuesday afternoon wondering, I wonder what Tyler's thinking about right now. I wonder what he's pondering, what's going through his head in this mid-afternoon rut. I can tell you, I know the answer. It's that question. It's that question. Where am I at in my relationship to you? Because I know that relationships are important to Jesus. We see that to be true all throughout the Gospels, that Jesus' entire ministry was based on relationships. His life, death, and resurrection were relational. It's important to him. But unfortunately, myself and so many others have been plagued with the same illness that my friends in Kentucky have, where even in times of plenty, we live expecting a time where there won't be enough for all of us, where our resources are going to be running out. And I employ that lens of scarcity every single day in my life, every single day, where there just won't be enough. And this past year, we're coming out of one of the craziest years that any of us can remember. And scarcity mentalities were on full display. Saw it every single day on the news, every single day on social media. I've got to get mine first. We've got to get mine first. We can't risk sharing with everybody. We can't give to others because then there might not be enough for me. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. And when that's the lens that we employ just in our day-to-day life, it starts to infect us far more than just our tangible resources. It starts to affect who we are and how we see ourselves and how we see each other and even how we start to see God. It affects our relationships. We begin to ask things like, well, how can you be my friend if you're friends with them? How can you spend quality time with me if you're always with them? What did I do wrong that you asked them for help or you asked them to go along? You didn't ask me. Where are we at? And it doesn't stop there. It keeps infecting us when we live with scarcity mentalities. It continues to affect us to the most intimate parts of our lives where even our relationship with God comes into question, where we say, God, if you love me so much, then how could this be happening? God, if you said that I can trust you, then how was I so wrong on my discernment? Why is my personal ministry struggling while theirs is flourishing? I worked so hard on that event and only 4 people came, and yet their small group has over 20 people. God, where are we at? There's not enough for us. There's not enough love to go around. There's not enough grace to be extended. There's not enough forgiveness to be offered. There's not enough joy to be shared. There's not enough peace to be found. And when it's left up to us, we are always finding ourselves with the short end of the stick. But the good news. We know there's good news, church, or else we wouldn't be here this morning, right? The good news is that Jesus sees us in that. And not only sees us, he came and joined us. He came and joined us and lived amongst us, experiencing the same things that we experience. And as he looks around and he saw that depravity and he sees this false reality that we have created for ourselves where there's just not enough, Jesus dares to look us in the eyes and offer us a life of abundance. Where he says, there's more than enough in me. Come and drink, for I am the well that will not run dry. That is why we follow Jesus, because he just offers us something that the world simply cannot provide. Park Street belongs to the Brethren Church. It's in our name, right? We've been reading through the centennial statement. We are a Christocentric denomination, a Christ-centered faith family, where Jesus is at our center. He is our focal point, the fixed position to which we orbit. And we demonstrate our belief in Jesus by the confession of our hearts that Jesus Christ is saving Lord over all. And we demonstrate our devotion by a lifelong obedience in the same direction. Because in a world that only steals, kills, and destroys with weapons and tools of death, Jesus offers us life. And life to the full. Why don't you guys pray with me this morning? Lord, we love you so much. We love you and we believe in everything Scripture has to say about you, and we're thankful for that. And we follow you because you are totally other and different. And you provide us with a life of abundance that cannot be met by this world. For that, we are thankful each and every day for that reminder, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Amen. Mentioned that on my drives home each day after work, I've been thinking about these different ways of how to view our faith, right? Belief and devotion. But the beautiful thing is, church, is that those two sides of the coin are not mutually exclusive. They actually live in a beautiful harmony together where they require each other, right? Belief and Jesus is the seed that bears the fruit of a loving devotion. Right, so we can believe these things to be true about Jesus, and that's what spurs our following and our dedication of our life towards Jesus Christ, because they need each other, because without a seed, you're not going to get any fruit, right? But without fruit, you're just left with a bunch of seeds. Receive this benediction this morning, church. May you go from this place reminded each and every morning that as children of God and followers of Christ, we are blessed with the opportunity to live in a life where there is no scarcity, where there is no shortage of supply. A life of abundance. Jesus promises that. And anything that resembles anything different is a thief and a robber. We love you, Lord. We are thankful for this reminder of just your goodness and your provision. Thank you. Praise you. Amen. Love you guys. Go in peace.